They sound like they're having a good time already. So I'm not sure what the year was. Maybe it was 2010, maybe it was 2009. But my husband and I came here and told you about something that God spoke to us. And anyway, that is why I am here to see you today, to update you on what has been. So my name is Linda Schultes, as you were told, and I am with North America Indigenous Ministries. And in July 2011, my husband Ernie and I left Saugerties, New York, and moved to the state of Washington near the Lummi Reservation to minister to the Lummi people. Lummi Nation is a Native American Coast Salish tribe located in western Washington state, 90 miles north of Seattle and 20 miles south of the Canadian border. They are the original inhabitants of Washington's northernmost coast and Canada's southernmost coast, western Canada's southernmost coast. With enrollment of over 5,000 members, they are the third largest tribe in Washington state. Prior to the arrival of the European Americans in the 1800s, their territory occupied an area that extended 110 miles from the southern coast of Canada down to the Seattle area, 110 miles. The Lummi Indian Reservation, which was created in 1855 by the Point Elliott Treaty, is now comprised of a 5-mile-long peninsula, a northern upland area, and the smaller peninsula of Sandy Point, the floodplains and deltas of the Nooksack River and the Lummi River, and Portage Island and associated tidelands. I tell you that so that you can understand just how much land these people lost when the Europeans came. The European people refer to themselves as Laktamish, or people of the sea. For centuries, their culture and survival have depended on the annual migrations of salmon. Today, Lummi Nation is a nationally recognized leader in tribal government and education. In September 2013, after a very short illness, Ernie died, and I was left in a place where I knew few people and was 3,000 miles from my family. However, I knew that God had placed us at Lummi, and God also impressed upon me that I was where He planned for me to be. Name told me to take the time I needed to heal from my grief. I spent lots of time with God, talking to Him, reading, listening to Him, and absorbing His peace. A scripture verse that especially spoke to me was Acts 1:8b, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and Samaria, and Lummi, and Newburgh, and to the ends of the earth." So what lessons have I learned? First, grow and serve where you're planted. Be. Spend that time with God and be. And He will have you doing things. Love people. Each day I pray that God will give me His heart for the people at Lummi and establish relationships. So, what does ministry at Lummi look like for me? Well, I am on team with Tom and June Cox. They have been with NAME since 1983 and have been at Lummi since 1995. In 2017, Tom retired from his work with the Lummi Tribe and Northwest Indian College, which is located on the Lummi Reservation. He was an adult educator and a GED educator. He is still working with NAEM. June, his wife, is a volunteer chaplain at Whatcom County Jail, seeing only Lummi women. So other than being, what do? Well, I attend and drive people to Christ the King Community Church in town on Sunday mornings. And I attend and drive Lummi people to Jesus Christ Community Church on the reservation on Sunday evenings, both to gain an exposure to Native ladies and to give Lummi women who I've met through Chaplain June another opportunity to be among God's people. I have helped to get a defunct Bible study going again, the Jesus Christ Community Church Ladies Bible Study. And often, one of the ladies will say, "Oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible." Yes. And at the request of a Native woman, I have volunteered at Lummi Head Start, helping her with filing. And lots of times, she just needs someone to listen and to pray with her. I drive Lummi people to the food bank, shopping, court and probation appointments, the emergency room, you name it. I get a call, "Can you take me here? Can you take me there?" I go lots of places. I move people in my car. Now, there was one woman I moved in my car 3 times in 7 months. I also moved, I didn't move that trailer. Somebody else moved the trailer. I drove the car behind it that was the backup lights. However, I have to tell you about the trailer. So the trailer had 3 tires, and then that other axle, it was sort of tied up, okay? And the first time I helped move this trailer, we were just on the reservation roads, so they were small roads. We could go fairly slowly. And I was following the trailer as close as I dared. And all of a sudden, I see sparks coming out from underneath the trailer. And I'm peeping on my horn so that the guy who has a truck who's pulling the trailer will stop. And so the other person came back. The owner of the trailer came back and said to me, "What is wrong?" I said, "There's sparks coming out of the bottom of the trailer." They said, "Don't worry about it. Just drive." And all the while, that person's cat was running around in my car. Yes. Several months later, that person wanted to move someplace else. This time, it was still on the reservation, but it was on a main road so that we could go 50 miles an hour. And there were no sparks. However, as I'm driving, the window screens are flying off the trailer at my windshield, and the cat is running around the car. So those are very interesting times I've had. What else do I do besides all those fun things? Well, I attend Lummi community events. Okay, so there are, yes. Did we get to there's another picture with that. Yeah. The hats. I wanted you to see the hats. Those are made out of cedar bark. They're handmade. And that's very much, cedar is very important to them. So I attend the community events, especially funerals, which are 2 full-day events, as a way to integrate into the culture. From January to June of this year, we had 40 funerals. In 6 months. And I will be probably attending a funeral. I just heard of a funeral, heard of a death, and so I'll probably be going to a funeral the day after I get home, Wednesday. I also have hosted ladies' movie nights at my house. They're like a party. We have candy and snacks, and we watch a Christian movie or a teaching video and discuss it. So on a Valentine's Day, which can be an especially hard time for a woman who doesn't have a special someone in their life, we had a ladies' movie night at my house. This is ladies that don't have a special someone in their life. That's very often true of the ladies that I meet. So the ladies came and they arrived excited and expecting because they had been there at Christmas time, come also at Christmas. The teaching video spoke of how at the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, God made Israel his prized possession as in a marriage. The ladies were deeply touched by God's love for them. The video brought forth comments and questions from the ladies, which led to a wonderful time of discussion. Because it was a Valentine's celebration, June and I gave them chocolates, what else, right? A blooming plant, spirit-inspired journal, and a bookmark with the Ten Commandments on it. And although these women probably didn't get to experience what we would consider a normal romantic Valentine's Day in the usual way, they were able to feel very much loved by God, which was even better. And it was an awesome night. 2 weeks later, one of the ladies, happened to be the lady that I had moved a lot, and she also attended that night, and she was baptized by June and one of the pastors at Christ the King Community Church that I drive people to on Sunday mornings. So I also serve as a support officer. Now, it's not what you think. Whatcom County Support Officer Community Care is a Christian organization under the auspices of the Whatcom County Sheriff's Department. How's that for separation of church and state? We are specially trained civilian volunteers who respond to 911 calls where there has been or is likely to be a fatality. Our mission is to impact and influence the lives of the families experiencing tragedy and trauma in our community and also the first responders who serve them. We offer grief support at deaths and act as a liaison between the family and the police, the family of the deceased and the police. We handle things like CPR in progress, traumatic death, accident, murder, suicide, and we do death notifications. So most of the support officers serve 2 24-hour days a month, but they cover the whole county. Tom, June, and I, because we are, our focus is on Lummi Reservation, on the Lummi people, we serve 24/7, 365, except when I'm here with you. I also visit elders. Mary Helen, I would visit Mary Helen every week. She was the eldest participating member of the tribe when she passed away at 99 years old, 3 months before her 100th birthday. Her deceased husband was the chairman of the tribe for many years. She designed the logo on the Lummi flag. Now, that's an eagle, which is very important to them, but if you see his wings, they're whales. And fish are very important to the Lummi people. I listen to stories of her life, learning about her, her family, and what life was like on the reservation before modernization came to it. I called her the singing elder. We would sing old camp meeting songs and pray for each other. And it is because of Mary Helen that my late husband's funeral was at Wecklium, Lummi's community and spiritual building. She was a dear friend. So the highlight of our year is the Jesus Quest Bible Camp, a 3-day overnight camp where we share Jesus with Lummi children 7 to 12 years old. In 2004, In 2004, Mary Helen asked Tom and June if she would put a Bible camp on in her backyard for her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She had two rules. One, it has to be overnight to draw the children. And two, it has to be free, because as Mary Helen says, no one should have to pay to learn about Jesus. So during camp, my duties are mainly administrative. I take care of registration. I make sure that we know where the kids are, like keep track of them, because it is on the reservation, and it's not like they come and stay for the whole time. They come, their family signs them out, funds them back in. They go do something else, come back, go in and out. So keeping track of the kids. I make sure the campers are signed up for and receive a special T-shirt that we design and have printed each year. And each year the T-shirts are different designs because they go along with what we're having taught that year. And I do photography for the camp. So there will be several photographs now. Oh, that's a Legos Bible. The Bible has Legos. I don't know if you can see it, but anyway, it's a Legos Bible. And these are tank races. The kids love them. And I go to a furniture store, and I ask them for the Lazy Boy recliner boxes, and they save them for me for about a month, and then we take them over. Oh, and this is a dump tank. We thought when we had this built that the kids would want to have the counselors, the teachers, the leaders, the adults getting wet. No, they wanted to get wet. And slip and slide. And then Mary Helen prayed with the kids. And this last picture is a picture of this year's group. The other picture was not this year's group, but this was this year's group. So I'd like to share two stories from Jesus Quest Bible Camp. In the first story, the grandfather pulled June, my teammate, aside during camp registration. He explained that his 9-year-old granddaughter decided to come to camp that year because she wanted herself and her dying father to be prayed for before he went to heaven the next day when he would be taken off life support. That night, that little girl accepted Jesus into her heart. When her family came to get her the next day to take her to see her unconscious father for the last time, she decided to stay at camp. The family was willing to let her make that choice. She had seen him just before coming to camp, and her going to see him would be a 2-hour trip and would mean she would be gone from camp for the rest of the day. She wanted to be where she was being loved well and felt close to God. Each day, the family checked in with her, and each day she decided to stay at camp, even after her father passed the second night of camp. We always pray that those of us interacting with the children will be clear reflections of God's love. God obviously granted that request for that girl and others at camp that year. And at last year's Jesus Quest Bible Camp, we gave an action Bible to each of the campers. It's a Bible that's illustrated in the comic book style, and we were able to buy them at a very deep discount. So we have an after-camp debrief to figure out what went well and what didn't go so well. So I heard a story at that meeting. Actually, I heard two stories. One was about an 11-year-old boy, and when he opened that Bible and saw what it was, he went and ran and gave his group leader a great big bear hug. Just because, I mean, how many times do you get a Bible with comics in it? or completely comics. And then another boy who was age 10, he started to read. And he kept reading throughout the day, whenever he had a chance. He even decided to not take part in his favorite game, but to read his Bible. Every so often, he would go and he would say to tell one of the group leaders, "I read so many pages, I read so many pages." And at one point, he told his group leader, "I read 100 pages in the Bible." And his group leader said, "Well, you know, it's more important to know what you read than to read a lot of pages." And this little 11-year-old boy says, "I know what I read." And so his group leader said, "Okay, I'm going to ask you questions from all those various stories in that." And he answered every question correctly. Yes. I wonder if it was because of the comics. Please pray that these boys and the other campers will continue to hunger for God's word and draw close to him through their reading. So what I do and what I be is all about relationship. One of the ladies that I drive to church on Sunday mornings, she said to me, "Linda, you have always been there for me. Even when my 6-month-old granddaughter was murdered. And I would be in jail now if it weren't for you driving me to my court appointments." Hudson Valley Christian Church, thank you for partnering with me, praying for me as I walk amongst the people of the Lummi Nation. Haishika. That's Lummi Chasen for thank you. That's their native language.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. God bless you. Can you not use the phone in a sanctuary, please? You can go out to the lobby, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Today I'll be sharing to know God's grace is upon us. And I began to search the scripture, and the Lord brought me to Timothy. Well, Paul had two young pastors. One was Timothy, and the other one was Titus. And Paul writes to them to encourage them. And one thing that Paul says to them, to remind them that we serve a living Savior when times of discouragement settles in our hearts. And he reminds them that's why he had sent his son in the first place. But God's mercy overlooks sin and disappointments. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. God loved us, not because we are sinners, sinless, but rather in spite of our sins. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the precious blood that was shed on the cross, even for our sins, Lord God. That you gave your precious Son, that we may all have eternal life in Christ Jesus. I thank you that your arm is not too short to reach those who are discouraged, those who are struggling. Even as Paul reminded Timothy and Titus that he came, that we may receive mercy and grace to overlook those sins and disappointments. He came to give us peace and the blessings of God in time of need. Amen. See, the Webster Dictionary defines mercy as an act of goodness, kindness, and tenderness of heart to forgive those who trespass against us. And the word that is so close to mercy is the word grace. That's what the Apostle Paul tells his young pastors, Timothy and Titus, that God's mercy is upon us. The peace of God includes all the blessings of God when we need for the time, our need in time and eternity. See, grace from God is an unfailing fountain. The peace from God is an outpouring of favor and practical benefits to all who are saved by grace in Romans 15:13. Paul reminds Timothy and Titus how much greater love the Father has. In the epistles he writes to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, encouraging them as they spread the gospel in the growing churches. He encouraged the young pastors to teach and to preach in the times of difficulties. Paul states in his letter with three things. Introduction. He states his name, and immediately he brings the reader to attention to Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:1, he says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope." In 2 Timothy 1:1, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. In Titus, he's right, "In the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began." Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy and Titus and us that we serve a risen Savior. Paul is saying Christ is in control to these young pastors who are facing oppositions from both inside and outside the church. Apostle Paul is saying times are hard, but I'm still serving God. I know times are hard, but God is still good. He's saying to Timothy and Titus, times are hard, but God is still working. He repeats again, times are hard, but God is still moving. He repeats to Timothy and Titus, times are hard, but God is still good. I know times are hard, so we keep doing the good work for God. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of God, to strengthen those who are discouraged. Therefore, encourage one another with these words, he says in Thessalonians 4:18. Times are hard, but God is still good. Times are hard, but God is still saving. Times are hard, but God is still working. Times are hard, but God is still moving. Times are hard, but God is still good. Times are hard, so we keep doing good works for the Lord. Be encouraged today, church. Be encouraged. And walk in a manner worthy of the calling that God has called us. Strengthen one another. Encourage one another. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, is there any comfort or love, if there any fellowship of the Spirit, if there any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be through self-ambition and conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem another better than himself. Let each of you look out, not for his own interests, but the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those underneath the earth, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Hallelujah. Church, I want to say today to encourage one another, to love one another. That God has called us to let it be like-minded as Christ. To serve one another. Be a servant to one another. Don't be concerned with your own interests, but be concerned with the interests of those others. As Paul encouraged the church to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. He's saying those in leadership needs to walk worthy of the calling of God in their life. Those in the congregation and the congregation needs to walk worthy of the calling in their lives. We have a lost world out there. And they look at the church. What do they see? Do they see Jesus in the church? Are we reflecting the light of Christ in our lives? Are we the salt of the earth? What do they see? Are we walking according, worthy in the manner of God in our lives? I love when Linda shared about the children who read 100 pages. A child seeking God with all his heart. And he answered every question. I love children because I can see the innocence of them, the purity who they are. And God said, come to me as little children. We can learn from them. Let each one of us walk worthy to our calling in our lives. We need to be people in prayer, especially in this time of age, when the world is falling apart, nations against nations, brother against brother, children against their own parents. God has commissioned us to bring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those around us. We need to refocus. We need to stand up. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to send revival. God wants to send revival in the land. And he wants to begin with you first. Because revival comes within our hearts. Before we bring it out to the world. Things that happened in the past week. I'm not proud of it. My heart is heavy. I carry this church. I think of you all day and night. I can imagine Apostle Paul thinking of Timothy and his struggle and Titus and his struggle. And he's told Titus, walk your salvation with fear and trembling. He told Timothy, don't forget your faith from your grandmother and your mother that you was taught. Stay strong. He encouraged them. I wanted to encourage you as a church. When we wake up in the morning, it's a new day. The Bible said yesterday is gone. We begin a new day, a new freshness in Christ. We begin in the cleansing of his blood. We are forgiven. We are forgiven people through Christ Jesus. Amen. Every day is a new day for us. Amen. Our tomorrow is gone. Amen. He said today is a new day for the church. Amen. We need to rise up and walk worthy of our calling as a church. We need to move in the assignment that God gave the church. Go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning with Newburgh, New Windsor, town of Newburgh, Marlborough, into outer parts of the world. Amen. I know Ernie and Linda for many years. And I remember they left all to go the calling that God called them to work with the people. And Ernie was a talented man, a musician. He used to play the pipes and the guitar. He was a brilliant man. And Ernie was always a jokester. He used to joke all the time. He was very with it that way. When I heard the news that Ernie had passed away, I was shocked. We sat in class together. We shared our learning together and coffee and sharing the gospel with one another, loving each other. That's why it's important for us to love one another, because we don't know what the day for us is coming. And today, I want to apologize and ask forgiveness to Pastor Ron and Chris Trancalli. Because I spoke publicly something that I shouldn't have not spoken. Amen. And publicly now I stand here before them and ask for their forgiveness. Amen. Because my love doesn't change for them. Amen. We can have differences, but my love doesn't change. I love them as the first day I met them. I love them today, and I'm going to love them the same way tomorrow. Amen. As anyone else. Amen. The church is going through some changes. I take the words of Apostle Paul, the times are hard, but God is good. Change is hard, but God is still saving. Times are hard, but God is still moving. Times are hard, but God is still good. Times are hard, so we keep doing the good work of the Lord, encouraging one another. A week ago, I received a letter from one of the elders. As elders, on behalf of the elders, we received a letter from Paul Dietrich. He stepped down from eldership, dated July 16, 2019. I received that letter Friday, September 13, 2019. I pray for Paul and his family. I pray that this time it will be set apart, that he will seek God for direction in his life. He will come to a place where God will lift him up. Because the Bible says those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt. And I pray for peace of Christ in his life. This past week, on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we met with Don Richter, my pastor. And Bob DeFelice and I met with him. The purpose of the meeting was twofold. First, as the leadership of the church, to ask for forgiveness to the congregation and towards each other. To bring a working relationship between Bob, Fran, and myself. I believe that healing, the process of healing, took its first step yesterday, Bob. We agreed to establish a viable plan and a healthy transition for Hudson Valley Christian Church to a new and more detailed constitution and the bylaws for the purpose of moving forward with the vision and the mission of the body of Christ here at Hudson Valley Christian Church. Hallelujah. Give them praise. I will continue to be your senior pastor here at Hudson Valley Christian Church because the consensus of the body has determined that. I ask the congregation to please continue fasting and praying for Paul, for Fran, Bob, and myself as we begin this healing process as we move forward in this time of transition. I want to say again that God is good. Time is hard. God is still saving, but time is hard. God is still working, but time is hard. God is still good, time is hard. We'll keep doing the Lord's work. And I want to encourage you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, each one of you. And strengthen one another, and encourage one another, and love one another. As Christ has loved us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close this time. I want to allow you to come to meet Linda. And any questions you have, ask her. We want to support her. We want to really support her. Her and Ernie have given everything to go into the mission field. And she encouraged my heart, and I know she encouraged your heart this morning. And I want to say again, I love you. I will always love you. I have a passion for God's people and a passion for the lost. I will walk up to any stranger on the street and love on them. With no problem. I don't care their color, their hair. Purple, green, yellow. Amen. I'm going to love on them because Amen. That's what Jesus wants us to do, to love on them. Amen. The world needs love. Amen. In Romans chapter 2, it says that they will come to repentance because of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter what they've been, where they're coming from, but they will come to repentance because of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And we can change the world one person at a time. In church, I want to encourage you. When you come across someone, smile at them. When I'm on the streets, what breaks my communication, that I can come and communicate with someone, I'm always looking. If he's got a Yankee hat on, I start strike a work about the Yankees. I always try to learn a little bit of everything. I can have a conversation about the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan. So in that conversation, I said, can I pray for you? And I never had no one say no. It's very easy to encounter people on the street. Very easy. Just look around you. God will place it in your heart, and you go. It's very easy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're working on the bylaws. They're being edited and re-edited. I have pastors, leaders looking at it. I'm not going to do this in a rush. I'm seeking wisdom in all this. I'm praying for God's wisdom in all this. But I know it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for our church. So it's going to take some time. By law, we need 3 weeks. I have to give you a notice 3 weeks in advance and hand you the assistant bylaw and the new bylaw and allow you 3 weeks to pray before we can take a vote. That's by law. So continue to pray for me as I seek wisdom. Continue encouraging me as I try to encourage you as a church. Let us love one another. Because the hardest thing of a pastor is to see their children broken up. It breaks the father's heart. You know, those who have children, we know how it is when the brothers or sister fight or the two siblings fight. And you're the father, you're the mother, and you're trying to keep a balance between the two. You don't want to show more favor to one to the other. But you want to love them. And that's what I want to do with you. Love you. Last week I was at a funeral. And they were giving testimony about this pastor. And this pastor will train young pastor. He will bring them in. He will give them 3 rules. He said, love the people. Rule number 1. Rule number 2, love the people. Rule number 3, love the people. Love the people. He trained them to love God's people. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different cultures. Cultures understand things different. But we got to be patient with one another. We got to love on one another. Not offend, but love. Love is the key to turn this world around. The Bible said God is love. Last night I was worshiping here last night. God showed me the picture of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Reminded me what it is to serve. He called us to serve. My calling is to serve as your pastor. Me to wash your feet. That's my calling. To serve. Jesus came to serve. He was my example. He is my master that I follow. So wash your feet. He went to that cross for us, all in love. He didn't ask me, get your act together, Mike. He said, I'm going to that cross to die for you. Because I love you. To give you eternal life. And to give you all the blessings of heaven here on earth. Wow. That's a beautiful thing. To know that your Father in heaven loves you so much. To give you the open door of heaven. I preached a few weeks ago about the open door that he opens for us. That no one can close. That's for all of us. For all of us. Even the people who's not here this morning. That's for all of us. There's no difference in his eyes. His heart pours out love for each one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that even in the washing of the feet of the disciples, you washed Judas' feet, Lord. Because you loved Judas even to the end. And Father, I thank you that your word says that you are from everlasting to everlasting, from one generation to another. That you express your love, that endless love upon that cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because even in the garden, he says, not my will, but your will be done. And today, Father, we say, not our will, but your will be done in each and our lives, Lord. Father, I thank you for this meeting. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Linda and her ministry. Father God, I pray blessings over her. Amen. That your hand of provisions would just open up to her this morning, Lord God. That she will see the mighty hand of God move in her life. You know her desires. You know every need she had before we even asked. And I pray, Father, that you are the one who fulfill all those needs. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Father, that we can walk in the calling worthy of who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord. I pray a blessing over your people. I pray a blessing over your people. Blessing of overflowing that they cannot even contain it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah.